Monday morning, everyone's talking about it. Trump going to go to jail tomorrow. A lot of people talking about the accusations, or at least the expectation, that some district attorney, deputy district attorney in Manhattan, is going to go after the former president. We're going to be talking about that and more on today's Jaron Jackson Thought Stream. Good morning. My name is Jaron Jackson. I do love America. For me, it is always about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Don't be a moron and go to hell. Be a sinner, humble, repentant, loving of Jesus Christ, and believe the gospel like me, and you get to go to heaven. Amen. The people, over this last weekend, a story was broke that the former porn star, Stormy Daniels, that issue with President Trump is percolating back up. See, allegedly, President Trump had a sexual encounter with Stormy Daniels back in the 2000-aughts. And she went, she said she didn't go through it. And so then she came to him trying to extort him for money. And then allegedly Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's old attorney, turned rat, paid her off. I haven't seen any evidence of it, haven't seen any proof of it. Stormy Daniels said it doesn't happen. But now you have a politically ambitious, George Soros-funded, anti-Christ, anti-American district attorney coming after President Trump. Now, I ask a question, why? Why? People have analyzed this from all sorts of different perspectives. I want to go from the biblical perspective if we can. First of all, if you're going to go after someone for a misdemeanor, what would be a misdemeanor offense, for you're paying off a porn star after she is extorting you. So you allegedly did stuff with her. She then came to you and said, pay me money or else I'm going to tell everybody. Your attorney allegedly paid her money. Then she says publicly she didn't do it. And now there's a district attorney saying that the person who through the attorney paid off the porn star shouldn't have done that, and that's a misdemeanor offense. You have injustice rampant, systematic injustice, and ultimately it's coming down to the fact that the godless commies do not want President Trump to run for office. They want him disqualified. They want him with a stain on his record so that he can't be president. And the question is why? Why would the godless commies want President Trump to not be able to run for office? Now, a couple different interesting things for me is the fact that President Trump, if we had fair and honest elections and no algorithms and no cheap machines and no corporate media bought off by communists in this country, if we had that, then he wins in a cakewalk. He's actually not going to be running for re-election because he would have won 2020 like he did. He would be president right now. But you have the system we have, and so now the godless commies are trying to figure out what they can do in order to get President Trump out. So as we look into this today, I just want to go ahead and say that the issue at play is the fact that globalists hate freedom. People who hate Jesus do not want image bearers of God to live as though God intended them to. God did not intend you to live under the subjugation or dominion of other people. Genesis 1, he gave man dominion over the birds and the beasts and the fish and all the creeping, crawling things on the ground. We don't have dominion over each other. And yet these godless commie globalists have leveraged a system that's very old, and this system that's very old is now in, it's functionally, practically functioning as an oligarchy. Whoever's in the club gets to wield the gavel, gets to wield the leverage, and all these other things. And by God's grace, our founding fathers who loved Jesus Christ and gave us a constitutional republic, gave us common law, based on an understanding of the scriptures, infused with the belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have a common law system, and we have the opportunity to do something about this garbage. And they want to distract us from that. And so in walks Donald J. Trump. Imperfect breach tool used by God. No doubt in my mind. If you can look at Donald John Trump and what he did as president, what he did to bring people to a level of awareness and give voice and give words at a third grade level to the evil that's going on in this world, God is absolutely using President Trump. Still, I believe to this day. There's a little something different this time than there was last time. Maybe I really think that he's got really bad advisors. I don't think that he needs to be so supportive of sodomy or the LGBT stuff. I think that he needs to be very focused on families, very focused on the Constitution. His America First message is bang on. So you've got a district attorney in Manhattan coming after this guy, because this is the one guy that's got the spine and the steel and the nerves and the cojones to go after the godless commies in the system. This is the one dude that's not bought off. This is the one guy that doesn't need all y'all guys' money in order to make something of himself. He was something before he ran for office. And I think it's that the fact that he already had all the things that politicians want whenever they run for office. The money, the power, the women, the name recognition. He had all that. And then he ran for office. And then he ran for office. And so he didn't need it. And because he didn't need it, he had to play the games. And because he didn't have to play the games, he got to be more of himself. And so there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I don't like his mean tweets. He's really a jerk. All this other stuff. Or, you know, how about the Christians that are looking at this guy going, he's had multiple marriages. He's a sinner. He's got bad language. He's a gruff, rough person. We don't like him. Do you recognize that the men and women, mostly men in combat roles, who do violence on your behalf to keep this country safe, or the men and women in uniform that are on the streets patrolling as cops or firefighters or any of these other things, they use their strength, they use their bodies to put themselves in between you and some type of hazard. And many times it's a hazard that is sentient. It's a hazard that will think about how to kill you and how to defeat you and how to do those things. That's what Donald Trump was. Is. Donald Trump's this vicious bulldog who's laden with sin, and he's got his own proclivities, and he's a weapon against the globalists. So I support him. I don't support his vaccine positions. I don't support the fact that he was bankrolling the lockdowns and all those types of things. I think you need to be very clear on where you're at in the jab right now, in which case it's evil, it's toxic, designed bioweapon. Like, there's things I disagree with Trump on, but when it comes to supporting him for president against globalists, leave no mistake, have no doubt. I'm 100% behind him. And here you have this DA, this Manhattan DA, is already putting up barricades because the word has gone out that they're going to charge Trump with some misdemeanor offense from years ago, and they're going to charge him tomorrow. We're going to dive into this. This video is about the barricades that are already being erected in Manhattan. Watch this. This was, for those of you all listening to the podcast, thank you, by the way, bunch of dudes taking off barricades, these little police barricades you could easily push over. These people are expecting protests in the street. President Trump has called for protests in the street. People are expecting protests in the street. And there's a couple different angles to take from this. The first is the lesson learned from J6. If you're going to exercise your right to protest and to peaceably assemble, then it must be peaceably assembled. If you find yourself in a protest and you've got yourself, you know, you got your cell phone, and so they've got the place geofenced, and so they know where you're at and they know who's where and they know all this kind of stuff, don't do stupid stuff. Don't do stupid stuff. Protest. Protest. But if you find somebody who has a Fed boy haircut trying to say, we need to go into the building and we need to do this stuff, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Stay on the public property. Stay on the street. Exercise your rights. If it were me, I'm not going. I'm not going because, one, it's going to be in a city. Two, it's in New York City. And three, what's the purpose of this? When you recognize that you've got common law solutions here, I would much rather zing the DA for violating Trump's rights than I would rather stand in the street. Now, this is where I'm going to be different from most people. Most people who are conservatives would say, well, don't take the bait. Don't go do the protests. I think that's wrong, because if you do that, now you've unilaterally disarmed your First Amendment. I think that's stupid. I think if your First Amendment right has you the ability to protest, has the ability to peaceably assemble, then you better use that as much as you possibly can. There's a power there. The founders, in their wisdom, because they love Jesus, recognize that there's a value to people aggregating and meeting peaceably in order to demonstrate and to show their political will. How else do you tell the people in the government that you think one thing if you and all your bubbas get in the street and say, this is what we think? It's a very effective communication. And not even the best propagandists can project the power of people in numbers. Never forget that. Never forget that. The greatest propagandists can't project the real power of real people meeting in unison and in participation for exercising your rights. So do not unilaterally disarm. The second part, though, is that if you're going to be there, watch your conduct, check your six, don't go alone. If someone's like, yeah, let's go over these barricades, that's not what you need to do. Just stand there and exercise your rights. But at the same time, if you have the right to peaceably assemble, what's the very next thing enumerated in the First Amendment? The right to petition. You can petition. I want to know what this guy is actually going to charge Trump with, and if he charges Trump with something that violates Trump rights, I think that you should send him notice, affidavit, petition, whatever, and go directly at him. This is what I'm going to be talking about more in Live Local Field Manual 2.0, but we're also going to be talking this at the Live Local Conference in Claremore this June 2nd and 3rd. This June 2nd and 3rd, I am going to be talking about all things common law, how to use it, to include going after government officials, like getting money from them, getting them impeached, removing them from office, using the power granted to you by the founders to go directly after these people. To go after media that smears you, we're going to get into that here in a little bit. To go after entities that have three-letter agencies that you always have to give a check to on April 15. I don't know, you put that together. Like, that's what we're going to be talking about, and that link is in the description. Please join us. I'm probably not going to put that information publicly because that's the kind of stuff that gets a brother, on watch lists. So, the district attorney is already trying to create the optics that anything that is protesting President Trump's arrest is something that is domestic violence or extremism or an insurgency or something that is that the FBI or the media is going to spin, and coming right on the revelation of the truth about the Twitter files and the J6, the fact that most of them were welcomed in, the fact that Tucker Carlson had access to the footage and he was showing that the lies were going on. It does not stop these godless commies doing another false flag. And so there's people going, why is Trump asking for the protest? Why is he telling you to protest? And then there's another part that are like, don't do it. Don't take the bait. He's got bad advisors. Listen, folks, if you want to use your freedom, use it. Be smart about it. There's consequences to it. Personally, I would figure out which one of these people are going to do stuff, and I'd zing them with a notice or affidavit. This is why people need to learn how to do this, and this is how you turn the screws. That's what we're going to be talking on in the Live Local Conference. Here's another part. This is Trump's attorney. This is Alina Haba, and listen to what she has to say about this entire witch hunt.
It's kind of par for the course, as you said. I'm not as panicked as the media likes to make this. We knew that they had a DA. We have another Michael Cohen special that's happening here. And this will be the first time ever, if they do go ahead and try and indict a former president. Number one, that a former president's been indicted, which is a sad day in our country. And number two, that somebody gets indicted and gets charged with being extorted, because that is actually what happened. Let's remember that she wanted payments, hush money payments, they call them. This is something that a lot of people have gone through when somebody sues them and then they settle a case. But this is somebody who creates a story, goes and tries to go to the press, gets paid by his old attorney who advised right. him so. And that, let's not forget, there was an attorney involved here who did the payment, you know, and orchestrated it. Mr. Cohen, lovely face. Can't wait to see him in court again soon.
And here's I guess my point. Trump is too shrewd for this. Back in the early 1990s, Trump was writing books called The Art of the Deal. And there's in that book, and I'm trying to find it. I can't see it on my bookcase here. But in that book, he tells you, very first page, he doesn't do what he does because he has to. He does what he does because he likes to. Trump is playing a game. Trump is very aware, growing up in New York media, growing up in New York City real estate, growing up in those types of situations. He knows the cause, the effects, the actions, reactions. He knows what he's doing. Now, he's not the one bringing on this DA. He's not the one bringing on this misdemeanor fight. But think about this. How absurd is it going to be to the American people, even if you hate Trump, to see that there's a district attorney that's going after this misdemeanor offense from years ago against the president. The obviousness is the fact that they just don't want him to run for office. And while that still won't be enough to persuade the people who hate Trump to see the obviousness and the abuse of the justice system in that, in other words, there's going to be always people who hate Trump. There's going to be always people, regardless of what you say, have such a formed belief that they have to hate the man. And those people need to learn about Jesus. But there's a lot of folks that have such an intrinsic hate about who he is and what he does that they'll never consider the fact that, you know, he could believe the gospel too. And if this is the case, most people who see this going on, this is just the dumbest thing in the world. Why are they doing this? But think about what Trump's doing. A couple days ago, President Trump was here in Tulsa, a couple miles down the street. He was watching the Division I wrestling tournaments, NCAA wrestling tournaments. He's having a great time, smiling, having a great time out in public, despite the fact that the news had been reported that he was going to be arrested. Now, if you were going to be arrested and you were going to be indicted for a misdemeanor offense, would you fly to the another part of the country and like be out in public and like smile and wave and do stuff? He wins optics everywhere in this. Either A, they don't go after him, which means the George Soros district attorneys have seen and felt the political backlash and now back down. So that shows that the people are in power. Or two, you go after Trump, you arrest him, you perp walk him, you book him, you show his mugshot, you do all those kinds of things. And in the process, you get everybody that's in his base completely on board. Like, you clear the deck in the Republican field. You clear the deck in the 2024 election. Which, again, to be clear, I don't think that anyone's going to beat Trump. But you completely clear the deck. And then what you do is you set up this almost a martyr type of situation where President Trump is going to be seen as the guy that the entire deep state is against. You've got to get sympathy for the man. So, which, you know, it's fine by me, but if you're going to do that, think about this. And this is where Trump is so shrewd. Trump didn't make the payment. There's no contract of the payment. There's only hearsay. There's only allegations. And this is where Trump is so shrewd because Trump has the layers. Trump has the liability protections. Trump has all those layers. Before you ever get to Trump, you've got to go through him. You've got to go through all of his layers to get to him. He's too smart for this. He's not dumb. He didn't just become a billionaire yesterday. He didn't just become a powerful person yesterday. And so I just think that this is a stupid attempt, but I think that this is something that, as Rush Limbaugh would say, is a teachable moment. And the teachable moment here is that you get to learn the tactics of the media. Here is Nancy Piglosi from 2017 explaining something called a wrap-up smear. Listen to this commentary follows.
And it's a diversionary tactic. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, you call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear. And then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic. And it's self-evident.
So much pride in explaining so much evil. Now, normal people won't think like this. This comes from, you know, time and training of how to wield political power and to destroy people. What's very interesting to me is that someone who has had this wrap-up smear tactic done to me, taking what I've said out of context, warp it for political influence. I mean, elections were decided based on my destroyed reputation. So I'm eminently interested in these types of things, and I've got my own solutions to them. But the powerful thing here is that this is the playbook. This is what these folks do. This is what these godless commies do. And I'll even go one step further. Because Americans don't understand their Constitution, they don't understand that you have the right to free speech, it doesn't mean you have the right to no consequence. If you say something that is not true and you use something that is malicious to destroy, defame, harm, or injure another person, you do not have the freedom to that consequence. You cannot cause that injury and then not have any kind of justice. Now, if you come to my Live Local conference, June 2nd and 3rd, I will lay out, and I'm, you know, for the people that watch me, for the people that participated in this type of stuff, I'm going to be using what I'm going to teach directly to come to you. And you're going to pay me for it. because the way that I'm going to come to you is I'm going to erase all the liability. So all this stuff that we're talking about here, all this stuff that President Trump is protected because of his liabilities, the common law cuts through that. It cuts through that. And I'm going to be employing this whenever I go and get justice. I'm going to be using this against the folks that have done me wrong. So if you come on June 2nd and 3rd, I'm going to be showing you exactly how I do it. I'm going to be laying it all out. And it's unstoppable. There's no limitation to it. So if it happened 10 years ago, you can go back 10 years. If it happened 20 years ago, you can go back 20 years. You got to tell the truth. You got to stand on your rights. And as long as you tell the truth and you stand on your rights, they can't stop it. Can't stop it. And this is where if the people understood this, the people have so much political power because we have all political power. President Trump isn't using common law. President Trump has just shrouded himself in all the liability protections and all the layers that everybody else has. So you got to come at him with the DA from Manhattan to try to get at him with the misdemeanor. You're helping the man. You're helping him. Now, from my perspective, I look at this and I go, this is, from an optics perspective, one of the best things that could happen to President Trump. Because if you had, you know, focused on DeSantis, let's say, because Trump was either quiet or complicit in the COVID lockdowns. And so you're looking at DeSantis to fight the woke ideology or to fight for conservatism or whatnot. If you're that guy or that girl and you like DeSantis, we'll get to DeSantis here in a little bit. What this does with the Stormy Daniels stuff is now it's going to elevate Trump's profile. And even though you don't like the mean tweets, even though you think that he's a jerk, even though that you might not really like him at all, you're going to be like, they shouldn't be doing that to him. They shouldn't be doing that to him. And that's the takeaway, is that most Americans have a sense of justice and have a sense of we have a sense of understanding that the state doesn't come after people. You just don't do that. You just don't do that. That's why we don't like false flags. That's why we don't like three-letter agencies that, you know, screw around or plant drop evidence or false flags or anything like this. We hate that stuff because it's a perversion of justice. And if your government is perverting justice, then why have a government at all? So here is Ron DeSantis. I believe he stepped in it. This is what he had to say about this situation.
Manhattan, as we've seen the crime rate go up, and we've seen citizens become less safe. And so you're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis has been attacked by Trump. And so this is DeSantis trying to be the politician, the well-measured, equal politician, but this is him taking the shot. This is him taking the shot to Trump saying, you know, I don't know anything about the hush money that you pay to a porn star. I can't speak to that. I can't do that, which is it's a hit. And so this is, you can understand where DeSantis is under fire and under pressure because you know that he wants to run for president. And if he doesn't want to run for president, you know that the powers that be that hate Trump on the right want him to run for president because he's controllable and DeSantis needs that big money. DeSantis needs that big support. Trump doesn't need it, so he ain't controllable. DeSantis needs it, so he's controlled. So now that DeSantis is controlled, and don't get me wrong, I like a lot of stuff that he does, but DeSantis ain't Trump. DeSantis ain't Trump. But here he comes and he says, I can't speak to all this. Okay, all right. We know what you're doing. He took a pot shot. And that's because he himself is under attack. He himself is under fire from President Trump. And that, you know, I understand that. The important part that I want to get to is that this entire thing is an injustice. And the conversation politically is going to be about preserving, if you're on Trump's side, preserving Trump and defending him. But then if you're opposite him, it's you have to take him down somehow. You have to destroy and get his name off the ballot somehow. You have to do that. Where I want to take this conversation, where I want to always point people back to is the Bible. I want you to get back to the gospel. I want you to get back to Jesus. And I want you to recognize that the subtext here is justice. The justice that needs to be done is the fact that there are, I believe, malicious government actors that are weaponizing the state. And I think that they're only there because there's a dude that hates Jesus. There's a dude that hates America. His name is George Soros. And he gets great leverage for the cost-effective investment of buying district attorneys. And by buying a district attorney in big cities, he then gets to go prosecute and push his anti-God agenda, anti-freedom, anti-American agenda on anybody else. And in this case, he paid for a district attorney. That district attorney is now in Manhattan. The Manhattan district attorney is now using the power of the state of New York to come after President Trump. I want to crush that. And I believe common law can crush that. Politically, I think that President Trump wins no matter what. No matter what. Because you're not going to be able to get him off the ballot just because you've charged him with a misdemeanor. He hasn't been convicted. So you ain't going to get him off the ballot from that regard. You are going to make him into a martyr. You are going to solidify his base. You are going to prove to even the people who hate him that they don't like the state being used against him. Like, that's what you are going to do. Where I want Americans to think, where I want Christians to come from is, well, God made President Trump. And God's using President Trump, but President Trump's an image bearer of God, and he has a constitution. He has common law. He could crush this stuff using common law, but he's not using common law. He's going to be using his lawyers. But President Trump is way too shrewd for this. You're not going to destroy President Trump by coming at him with a misdemeanor. And so it's from this regard that I have optimism in this regard, in this matter. I have optimism on this topic because they're not going to get this guy. Are you kidding me? I gotta stop President Trump. One of the things I really hate is the military-industrial complex. I hate the fact that we always seem to be on a perpetual war footing. This morning, it was announced that Secretary Blinken was going to promise $350 million to Ukraine. So this is March 2023. It reads, "This week is Russia's unconscionable war of aggression." By the way, Secretary of State Blinken, why is he talking about defense? Why is he talking about war? Why is he talking about this stuff? Anyway, the unconscionable war of aggression against Ukraine countries at great human cost. "We are again reminded of the boundless courage and steadfast resolve of the Ukrainian people and the strong support for Ukraine across the international community. Today, pursuant to a delegation of authority from President Biden, I am authorizing our 34th drawdown of U.S. arms and equipment for Ukraine valued at $350 million. They're going to give them ammo. They're going to give them HIMARS. They're going to give them howitzers. They're going to give them all sorts of stuff. Folks, this is a war footing. This is the federal government preparing a footing for war in Ukraine against Russia blatantly, brazenly, unconstitutionally. There's been no vote for this. This has been unilateral. Now, a couple different things. If we shift this to the common law, we recognize that the Constitution provides for Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11, Congress declares war, no declaration of war. We also recognize that there is the Secretary of State using defense funds and defense assets, weapons. Why does the Secretary of State control, possess, or coordinate defense weapons? Like, that's a blending of jurisdictions from Secretary of State, diplomacy, to Secretary of Defense. So you're blending these things. So there's big hodgepodge, just big, incestuous, stupid, unconstitutional hodgepodge of crossing modalities in order to get America into a war. That's how war-craved they are. It's like a Jeremiah 2:24, where they are the ones that are looking to engage in any type of situation to commit America to war. And I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But one of the things that's funny is people will point this out. What I'm about to show you is a video, and it's a spliced video. It's a Zelensky's translator. Commentary follows.
What motivates you to get up in the morning? How do you feel that you've endured this war?
Money. Money me, money now. Many money. Joe Biden sent taxpayer money now. Green t-shirt, persuasion. Green t-shirt not needed. But money love, green t-shirt. Send money, many money. Love, Ukraine.
Right. So the guy, so this dude, what's her name? I don't know what that lady's name is. I forget it. But this lady's interviewing Zelensky, and Zelensky's in person with her, presumably, and he's got a translator. And the guy just clipped himself out and then created this video where he's just talking about money. Zelensky's all about money. He's prostituting his country for war. His country is being prostituted for war. I believe that this was planned a long time ago. There is video footage. I didn't clip it. There's video footage of Lindsey Grahamnesty and John McCain. And there's one of other Republican. But these Republicans, these neocon, warhawk, big business for military Republicans, were over there in 2016, 2017 in Ukraine talking about how your fight, the Ukrainian fight, is our fight, the American fight. No, the Ukrainian fight is not America's fight. That's not our war. That's not our fight. We've been through this. But yet our politicians have committed us to this. They've been putting us on this path for a long time. This is where I think that President Trump was used by God to stop this. Not stop it in a way that it hasn't happened, but stop it in a way that now the American people see plain as day. We don't want to get in this fight. We don't care about Ukraine. I don't care about Russia invading Ukraine. I don't like the life lost. I don't like the violence that's there. But if you mean to tell me that you want my entire country to put itself on the warpath to go up against another country halfway around the world that we don't have any treaty alliances into that can further destabilize things. And candidly, Ukraine's not fighting for itself. It's not fighting for itself. It allowed itself to be bought off. It allowed itself to be overthrown and had a puppet government, the Ukrainian Revolution, the Orange Revolution or whatnot. It allowed itself to do this. And now it's in a position where these geopolitical pawns are being maneuvered. And you've got godless commies in America trying to commit us to war. I'm completely against it. Completely against it. I think it's wrong. It's evil. And I don't want anything, any part of it. And this video completely identifies the truth. The truth is that this is just about their money. It's you know, war is a racket, as they say. War is just a money-making opportunity. And I, by God's grace, as long as I have whatever audience, whatever microphone, I'm going to be pointing that out. Amen. Now, more and more and more, people are starting to see that if you had a needle inserted into you and were vaccinated for COVID, more stuff is happening. Well, this morning on a Australian broadcast, this happened. Commentary follows.
Everyone, today is Saturday, March 18th. Welcome to KCAL News at 7 on CBS, streaming on CBS News Los Angeles. I'm Rachel Kim.
And I'm Michelle Medina in for Sheba. Who is ready for some sunshine? I know I am. Let's start off with a check of your next weather with meteorologist Alyssa Carlson. She joins us live in the studio. Alyssa, this really is the calm before the storm.
Not again. No. Oh.
You know, we're going to go ahead and go to break right now.
Yeah. We'll be right
back. Jamie Ukis, weekdays, KCAL News Mornings.
Yeah, it's showing the lady coming down. Just slow motion. First of all, I was wrong. It's not Australia. My next clip is from Australia. That was from Los Angeles on Saturday. It showed a woman, for those of you guys listening to the podcast, it showed the meteorologist, a woman standing there at the desk. And when they panned to her, her eyes kind of crossed and looked up. And then she just face planted into the desk and then fell over. And then the natural response to the two ladies at the news desk was care and concern. And then their professionalism kicked in. They said, we're going to go to break right now. Lots of different angles from this perspective. I mean, think about this. The professionalism required by people who read teleprompters. I don't read teleprompters. Everything that I say is 100% from the old noggin. In fact, if you want to support Christian media and the stuff that I do, you can be a member at livelocal.store. Help us keep the lights on and keep pushing this gospel-centered, excellent Christian nationalist content. Amen. But if you are a professional teleprompter reader, and you have to talk like this. And next up, we're going to be talking about the next segment brought to you by Pfizer, right? If you're a professional teleprompter reader and someone does this, someone falls down, think of the competing interests. On one hand, she's your friend, she's your coworker, and she's in the same room, by the way. So you're looking at this camera and she's over there and she falls down and your personal You are drawn to look in the same room. So now you're looking off camera. So now you've just broken the rule number one, which is you're no longer talking to the audience. What's going on is more important. And so if you're going to be looking at what's that, so you broke that. And you're now concerned about them. So if someone does a face plant and falls over, you would be like, I'm concerned about that person. I want to go help them. I've often had the thought, like, one of the ways that you know that I'm not vaccinated is because I am here in the quantum shack, and I haven't. Oh, look, what? Like, I'm live streaming, and there's no one here. I've got my kids doing homeschool. I got the chickens outside. I got the pups. I've got my animals and those types of things. But I don't have a new producer here. I don't have anybody running the camera. So if Jaren just goes, right? So Jaren ain't vaccinated, amen. but here's these ladies, and they see the vaccination happen, and they're like, oh, we're gonna go to break right now. We're gonna go to break right now. Well, you just came from break, lady. There is the obviousness of what happened with that jab. It's becoming more prevalent. And I am going to be working on here in the very short term. I'm going to be working on some common law remedies. I want to be working on some common law remedies because I want people to go for it. Now, this is only if you've been injured. I haven't been injured. Remember, the common law is, are your rights violated? What right has been violated? And if you've taken the jab or someone you know has taken the jab, then they've got a right that's been violated. And so I'll work that up here pretty soon. But I wanted to bring this up, and this is from Australia. This one is a driver of a semi in Australia. Commentary follows.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning on a busy suburban street, and a B-double truck begins drifting into the bike lane. Within seconds, it mounts the footpath, charging through a road sign and a light pole. Barreling through an intersection, it then wipes out a bus shelter, fences and trees, just stopping short of a house. The entire terrifying event captured on Paul Brackley's car dash cam.
Completely lost control, and he was coming right into me. So I put my foot on the accelerator to get away, started crashing into things, and I then immediately pulled up, and then I ran back and helped the guy out of the truck.
The truck driver, a 31-year-old man from New South Wales, was slumped over in the front seat.
He had blood on his face, but he looked okay apart from that.
The driver was taken to hospital, telling Paul he'd just fainted at the wheel, explaining why the runaway rig showed little sign of slowing for so heart-stoppingly long.
4 days later, and residents are still faced with a massive clean-up here, but it all could have been much worse.
Miraculous, no one was killed. Miraculous.
Kelly Hughes, 9 News.
Yeah, this is part of the thing that just... Now, they won't say it's the jab. And I can't prove that it's the jab. So we don't know that that's the case. But before the last 2 years, run in your head if you can. Go to your memory. Go to the back recesses of your memory. Come through the files. And access... Access the files of your memory all the time that you can remember the prevalence, the commonality of so many just people fainting. So many people fainting on camera, on ball fields. Like, how many times have you just seen that? Did you see that? Is that common? Like, could you, whenever I was 5 years old, do I remember people going, oh, do I remember people just fainting at the wheel and just running off the road? Was this common? Or am I just now crazy? Am I noticing something more now that is not what I used to notice? Why would I be noticing something like this? In a completely unrelated and totally, totally unrelated issue, Dr. Fauci took to the streets to try to convince unvaccinated Americans that they needed to take the vaccine. Let's see how persuasive the good old doctor is. Commentary follows.
People in America are not settled with the information that's been given to us right now.
So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot on a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time.
Ooh, doesn't he look uncomfortable? He's grabbing the little, what's it called? The stair handles. He's grabbing the, I can't think of the name of that thing. He's grabbing the banister going up the stairs, and he's looking down. He's frustrated. He knows he can't stand the talking point of the guy that's arguing against him. And folks, you know, listen. I say this with all the love in the world. The dude that's supposed to be, the guy's talking to this, he's not Harvard educated. He ain't from the Ivy Leagues. He's not somebody that you're going to be finding watching Fox News. keep going.
It takes years to create vaccination.
Well, it used to take years.
Okay, it used to.
You know how many years were invested in this approach?
Oh, so Dr. Fauci, this is an appeal. This is an appeal to an authority, an appeal to experience. The guy said it takes years to do vaccines. So that's Proposition A. It takes years to do vaccines. The subtext there is science. You do test trials and double blinds, and you do, what's it called? Wherever you give them the fake stuff and they think it's the real stuff. What's it called? See, this is where I don't have anybody else to say, oh, it's called the thing. I can't think of the word. But you give them stuff that's not real, and they think that it's real. Like, you do those blind tests. And it takes time. They ran this thing out. They ran this bioweapon out in like months, folks. And here's Fauci saying, do you know how long it takes now? You know, it used to take that long. It doesn't take that long anymore. It doesn't take that long. Why? Because of science. Science is good. We got science. Keep going.
About 20 years of science to get us to be...
Placebo. It's called a placebo.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with. No.
Boom! this guy just like boom! And like, I mean, at this point, here's what's happening. You got Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's on the ground out here in whatever town this is. And he's trying to push this bioweapon. Because allegedly, there's not people taking it. So if people ain't taking it, now he's on the ground. He's got this woman with a clipboard and a green collared shirt. So she's got a clipboard and a green collared shirt, and there's everybody else. You notice the woman and Fauci don't have the masks on, but everyone else behind him got masks on. But now they're over here going this door-to-door vaccine sales campaign. And who better? Who better to sell the door-to-door salesman vaccine campaign than Dr. Anthony Fauci himself? And his number one argument is that we can do scientific articles and scientific vaccinations so much better, so much faster, and now 9 months. And the dude's like, yeah, well, 9 months are too quick to be taking no vaccines from y'all guys. Y'all guys suck. Keep going.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now.
Ooh, you see this head? The only reason I'm talking to you right now. Go ahead, sister.
As close as we are is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like
that. You understand? It's your fault. It's your fault. Debunked. Unfactual. Non-scientific. Wrong. A lie. Fraud, terrorism, like all of these ideas are true. Like, you are lying. It doesn't stop you from getting sick. It doesn't stop you from perpetuating. It doesn't stop you from any of this stuff. And yet she's up in here. She's saying the only reason, sugar, that I'm anywhere near you is because I'm vaccinated. And if you don't get it, then you're going to be perpetuating the system. I mean, you're going to be perpetuating the virus. This is stupid. This is stupid. And God bless this dude for standing his ground.
Like the common flu then, right?
Oh!
It's much more serious than the flu.
Though. Well, the flu kills a lot of people. And yeah.
You know how many people died of the flu the last...
Talking point. You know how many people died of the flu? A lot. But not as many as died from COVID.
Last year. I mean, not this year. Virtually none. But the previous year.
Virtually none. Which means, think of timeout. If there's one person that died from the flu, did that one person have family? Did the one person who had family of the person who died from the flu consider it was just a virtually none? See, my father died from stage 4 cancer on February 1. He went home. He's in Jesus. Amen. Believe the gospel. Do you think that when someone says, how many people died from stage 4 cancer, of prostate cancer, in February of 2023? How many you think? Virtually none. Well, to me, it was devastating. I lost my dad. I lost my father. So if you're going to say virtually none, you don't have a heart for the people who are dying, Dr. Anthony Fauci. This is why you do not socialize healthcare. I don't want bureaucrats like this. I don't want people who hate Jesus, like this guy, to be anywhere near the consideration for aggregating public health policy. It ain't his job. He doesn't have that authority. He should be able to shut up and get out of my face. But he's not going to do that. He's going to say, virtually no people were killed by the COVID-19. Virtually no people were killed by the flu. A lot of people were killed. A lot of people. Huge number of people were killed by the COVID-19. And I'm blending accents because, you know, I am. He's blending cocktails and vaccines and bioweapons. I get to blend accents. That's the deal.
About 20 to 30,000. You know, how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pay us?
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
You're right, but I'm glad.
What? She, he was like, well, I ain't gonna take it, but if you gonna be paying people, there's something wrong with that. I'm not taking that crap. And she's like, yeah, you right, there's something going on. What? Excuse me, lady, chill. Green shirt, clipboard, chill. Excuse me, what? What is this something else going on? Why did you bring a Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's now crossing his arms? You notice how he's crossing his arms now. Doesn't seem like he's very diplomatic in this regard. Doesn't seem like he's actually trying to promote his perspective, does it? It seems that he has been repudiated. This is the look of someone who is being denied, rejected, broken up with, you know, pushed away. Get out of my face. Begone with thee. That's what's going on. Go ahead.
Millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city.
Such a passive, aggressive, feminist, godless commie perspective. You know why we all did this? We all did this to protect everybody else. But you go ahead and go do your own thing. You go ahead and be dangerous. You go ahead and hate Jesus and all America. But I'm a holler at you. See, this is peak feminism. You got a stupid argument. You have a passive-aggressive barb, so as you're going to morally impugn the fact that the dude is living his life. I mean, we all have the immune systems God gave us. We all will die. This is why we all need to know Jesus, because none of us are getting out of this alone. Hebrews chapter 9 says it's appointed once a man to die, and then comes a judgment. So the subtext of not dying is a lie. So you are moralizing against me for using and having faith in God and the fact that I'm living my life. You're going to attack that notion by hanging over my head the fact that I'm going to put millions of people in jail, not to mention the fact that we know all this stuff is lie and wrong right now. But then as soon as you give me that pot shot, you're going to go, but you do that elbow low, and then you just go. This is women. You are not this. Women, you are not this. You are not this. This is feminism, women. Women, you are not feminists. You are not this. You are not this. You are women. Women aren't feminists. Feminists are feminists. Feminists take on a completely different perspective when they weaponize stuff like this against other people. Keep going.
It's okay, because my campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
Yeah. Amen. 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 God bless him. God bless that man. God bless that man for standing his ground. But there you go. Dr. Anthony Fauci, you wanted to know what happens whenever you are the chief lead coordinator and bioweapon developer of the NIH, the CDC, and all these other things. You want to know what you do after your career? You become a door-to-door vaccine salesman. Good luck, Dr. Anthony Fauci. You need Jesus. Now, I want to shift in tone a little bit. I want to encourage you. Little bitty clip. Commentary follows. Watch this.
Come on, bud. You're almost there. Almost there. Almost there. Push. Push.
Push. Amen. This was a video clip from a homeschool. The words down at the bottom said that in... what was it? Hold on, let me play that again. Hold on. The words at the bottom say, in 1973, there were 13,000 homeschools in the United States. Today, there are over 140,000 just in Florida, 145,000 just in Florida. This is the... We homeschool. Katie and I homeschool. We homeschool our kids. I encourage you to. I believe that if you're a grandparent and you've got your big fat 401k and you've worked your entire life, one of the best investments, I argue, you can do is to pay for your kids to go to a school that doesn't teach them pronouns. Or if you could, hoodwink your kids for your grandkids to be taught by you in a homeschool setting. Move, sell where you're at, or buy for your kids to come where you're at, do a multi-generational thing, you know, whatever. Sacrifice to train your kids so that they love the Lord. Sacrifice so that you have the opportunity to train your children to obey Jesus. It will be a beautiful payoff. It will have a beautiful profit. It will yield a grand harvest. You'll love it. It will be horrible sometimes. It will be very tough a lot of the times, but it'll be so awesome. This was a video of a young man who has this one of these really big tractor tires, and he's trying to flip it. Just trying to flip the tire. Nothing specific, nothing nuanced, nothing technical, nothing algebra about it, nothing calculus about it. Just a little boy trying to move a really big thing. And you notice he was struggling, and all of a sudden he got underneath it. He put himself underneath the object, and then he used his strength to push the object up. This is an evidence of fighting. This is an evidence of training your children to suck the obstacle and to wrestle with the obstacle and to overcome the obstacle. I loved everything about that video because it showed him struggling, it showed him fighting, it showed him exerting strength to overcome an obstacle. I also love the fact that it's a little boy doing it. It's a young man. Specifically, we lack fathers and men who fight. This is not an indictment of people who are in bad positions. It's an encouragement to fight whenever you're in a bad position. Whenever you're under pressure, whenever you're being attacked, whenever people are coming after you, fight, fight, be strong. God made men to fight. He gave us strength to engage his creation. Part of that creation, or I should say all of that creation now, is under sin, which means everything that we do is a fight against sin. Have that mindset, have that battle focus, have that task training where you understand the scriptures and you're always applying it. Yes, women can participate. Yes, girls can do the same thing. But I love the fact that this showed a little boy in a homeschool setting struggling with a big, stupid tractor tire to flip it over. The simple idea of flipping it over. And here's the thing. The more that you do it, the more that you flip these things over, the more that you go against obstacles, the more that you learn how to endure through pain and hardship, the better you'll get at doing it. The better you'll get at doing it. And what I encourage people to do right now is to train people to want to fight. I believe they already want to. I believe people want to fight. I believe that it is a God-given blessing for us to engage his creation. And now that his creation has fallen and we are living all in sin, it is now a war. It is now a battle. It is now a fight. It's no longer laboring as we're working the garden and we're working with our creator. It is now a fight. It's a fight. And if you don't like that edge, if you don't like that serrated edge to consider it to be a fight, then labor. Labor. Work. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. I love everything about this. Do what you can. I know times are tough. I know Biden inflation. I know oppression. I know all the things. I also live in this world. I'm not made of money. I don't have everything paid off, and I'm not swimming in cash like a big, Scrooge McDuck with a big stack of money. Like I've got issues, like we've got things going on, but you sacrifice for your priorities. And in my house, me and my wife will raise our children and we will sacrifice anything in order to make that happen. If you are in a position to do that, I encourage you to do that. So don't quit. Don't quit. Not an indictment of those who don't, but certainly an encouragement of those who do to continue. And if you're on the fence, take the plunge. Make it happen. Sacrifice. My last point here is I wanted to play this video with some commentary after. Watch this.
Conservative Christian leaders are calling on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to stop a bill proposed by members of his coalition to make it criminal to tell people about Jesus in Israel. Our Jerusalem correspondent Daniel Cohen is live near Tel Aviv with more. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, everyone. A big story just before, days before Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter, sacred time for Christians. Two ultra-Orthodox members of Prime Minister Netanyahu's coalition have introduced a bill that would punish believers for sharing the gospel of Jesus with prison time. United Torah Judaism Knesset members Moshe Gafni and Yaakov Asher introduced legislation last week making it illegal to share in conversation or produce content online, in print, or by mail. Their explanation of the bill emphasizes a warning to stop Christians in particular.
Now, of course, I absolutely hate this idea. The way that you respond is to tell people the gospel. Christians, you can argue your right to exercise religion. And in America, we have that guaranteed and secured in the Constitution because America's founders love Jesus. But Christians throughout the world aren't given the freedoms or the liberties. They're not secured what we have here in America. So we should be very thankful for the blessings we have here. We should also not be surprised that the world hates Jesus. It comes as no irony that Jews hate Jesus. This is not anti-Semitic, nor is this anti-Israel. This is the fact that Jesus Christ is king. This is the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is truth. Israel has a right to be its state, to have its own country, and because they're not based on Christian values, they're going to pass and push legislation that is harmful and detrimental to Christians. Why? Because just saying the gospel has the power to change the entire world. Just preaching the gospel is how God is going to invade through people's ears to get to their hearts to change who they are. The Bible talks about whenever you are born again, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, right? Like you are brand new. Whenever you are born again and you believe the gospel, you are no longer who you were. In God's eyes, you are someone completely different. You are someone completely new. Notice here, this goes for Christians preaching the gospel. If I'm in Israel, if I'm a Christian in Israel, regardless of whether this law passes or not, of course the law is evil. Of course the idea here is anti-Christian. It's anti-Christ, absolutely, that you would have the state persecute Christians. But Christians, you should be expecting this. Christians, this should not surprise you. This should not come off as something that you look at and say, oh no, you should look at this and say, okay, good. Now I know who needs to go hear the gospel. That dude right there, that Jew that's pushing this anti-Christian bill, that guy needs to hear the gospel. Why? Because he hates Jesus. He might be a nice guy with grandkids and kids, and he might tie his shoes and obey the speed limits, but that dude is in hostility towards Jesus. And what that means simply is that if you are a sinner, then you have broken God's law. Jesus, because he was sinless, born of a virgin, he voluntarily, out of love, took the cross so that God could pour his wrath on Jesus and not on everybody else. Whenever you believe the gospel, you believe that Jesus took the cross for you. You believe that he was buried in the grave. His sins were dead. He was dead. Your sins die with him. And then he rose 3 days later from the grave. That's the gospel. When you believe the gospel, you are no longer who you were. You are now in Christ. And now that you are in Christ, you are completely different. You will live differently. You will think differently. You will still sin. You will still make these mistakes. You will still do things that God hates. But God is so good. He is so much better than you are evil. And even though your evil is horrible, God's grace is so much better. In the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the way that it differs from Judaism, especially modern Talmudic Judaism and Judaism of the Old Testament, we have a better covenant now. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, I think. We have a better covenant. And that better covenant is that Christ does everything. Christ is the high priest. Christ is the atonement. Christ is king. Christ is the lawgiver. Christ is all those things. He completed everything so that we only must believe in him. That's it. That's it. Now, the reason why these Jews hate Jesus, other than the fact that they don't want Jesus' salvation, they don't want God's grace offering, is because they have a system of power that reflects the enemies of Christ. They've got an incentive to hate Jesus. They've got their power, their culture, their tradition, their history. They've got all of that to reject Jesus. They have all of that and more to reject Jesus. But I submit this to you. There's nothing more Jewish than to believe in the Jewish Messiah. There's nothing more Israel than to recognize the Messiah has come. Christ came. He's on his throne. When you believe the gospel, you are in him. And whenever you are in his kingdom, you get to work for him. You get to fight with him, fight for him. You get to do those things on his behalf. Amen. Friends, believe the gospel. I appreciate you watching. Please support me at livelocal.store, livelocal.store. 100% listener supported. No corporate media, no promo codes, no commercials, folks. No commercials. My kids will watch a movie for free on a streaming app, and they'll see commercials, and they go, "Dad, fast forward through that." And it's like, sorry, that's the commercial. That's how TV used to be. I did this for an hour, Bible-focused, information-focused. It's got news, commentary, all sorts of stuff. Please support, be a member at livelocal.store, livelocal.store. If you're a coffee drinker, 100% air-roasted coffee at humblewb.coffee, humblewb.coffee. It's air-roasted coffee. 99% of coffee companies drum roast their coffee. Air-roasted coffee is great. Full palate, not bitter, great coffee as God designed it to be. Humble coffee at humblewb.coffee. humblewb.coffee. Portions of proceeds go and mail Bibles throughout the country. Free on that. The last part here is that all the profits from livelocal.store go to pay for my dad's idea of a gospel gown. A gospel gown is something, if you go in the hospital, they're going to give you this little thing that doesn't cover your backside. Right? My dad's idea was to put the death, the burial, the resurrection logo, the death, the burial, the resurrection logo that I have on all my stuff on a gospel gown. If you email me at gospelgown@livelocal.store, gospelgown@livelocal.store, you email me that. I will send you one for free. I sent one lady 20 of them for free. No shipping, no charge. I will give it to you because we want the gospel to go. We want spiritual warfare to advance. We want Christians to love people so much that even though they might be dying, even though they might be in the hospital and have chemo or surgery or COVID or anything else, even though they might be physically dying, they can be rejoicing in God and on the attack spiritually. Be a billboard for Jesus in a hospital setting. Email me gospelgown@livelocal.store and I will send you one for free. Amen. God bless you. Until next time, I am Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Don't quit. Go to war.